Politicians will promise that they are going to sign a peace deal and that they're going to accomplish through political efforts peace. Even in the pageants of their day and time, that the pageant contestant often wish for world peace, right? But I'm so thankful as we have sung about this morning, we are promised peace. But the thing about biblical peace, it's a little different than what the world expects. The world expects peace, meaning the absence of conflict and challenges and difficulties and things of that nature. They just want everything to just be calm and peaceful. And of course, we all desire for that to take place. But one thing that we find from the Word of God is that we as followers of Jesus Christ can have peace within our souls, as a song just sung about, not because of the worldly situations and the peaceful situations, but as followers of Jesus Christ, we can have peace within turbulent times. We can have peace within our souls. We can have peace during the times of storms in our life. And so I want to invite you to go with me to look at that theme and how we as followers of Christ can have peace within our soul, even during the storms of life, as we go to our passage, which is our text this morning, Mark chapter 4, Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41, and we'll be looking at that in just a moment. But as we think of this passage, let me give you a little bit of the background of what has taken place leading up to our text this morning. You see, times had been very calm. The sea had been calm. But all of a sudden, everything is going to change. It's going to be turbulent. It's going to cause great waves. It's going to be a great storm. That's the background of what is taking place within this passage. So once again, we pick up in verse 35 following what had been a peaceful day into what's going to be a stormy day. Once again, in Mark chapter 4, we pick up in verse 35, which it goes on to say this, that on the same day when evening had come, he said to them, referring to Jesus, to the disciples, let us cross over to the other side. Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, referring to Jesus, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? Let us pray. Father, we are so thankful that we have a relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you, O Lord, for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to provide salvation for us. We're so thankful for a relationship with Jesus Christ that promises to sustain us in the storms of life. And so, Lord, as we look at this passage a little bit further this morning, we ask your blessing upon this time. We ask that your mighty Spirit teach us your truths, and may we receive them, may we apply it to our lives. This we do pray. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, I want to simply look at this example, the story of the severe storm that took place within the passage we have looked at. And I want us to take a look at the reaction of both Jesus and His disciples as they were going through this storm. Notice, first of all, that the disciples are absolutely terrified, and understandably so. If you imagine that you're in a boat and starting to fill up with water and you think it might sink and you might think that hope is all lost, this is where the disciples were in this situation. Many of us can relate to the fact that there are certainly fearful and times of turmoil that are going to come into our life that can absolutely fill us with fear if we're not careful. But I want us to look at the response and the reaction and the example that Jesus set for His disciples in this situation. Notice that Jesus is calm. Did you see that? Jesus is calm. Now, fearful things will come into our life. But you know, a great leader during fearful times will be steady and will be calm. And so it is that Jesus, who was a leader of these disciples, has a presence of calmness. He demonstrates that for them. This event wasn't startling him. It wasn't taking him by surprise. But rather, Jesus is steady. Jesus is calm. And Jesus also had a purpose of allowing this storm to take place, because it was going to be a learning experience for His disciples. You see, the disciples in the situation were not out of God's will in this situation. In fact, they had been commanded to go and to get on the boat, in the boat and in the water. There's nothing that they had done in this situation that would have caused it. They had been obedient. They had followed God's instructions. They obeyed and followed His command. Yet, this storm arose in their lives. And I believe that as followers of Jesus Christ, we need to recognize that there's times in life where storms will come our way. And there's times in life where we need to remember that it does not mean that we have necessarily done anything wrong. There are times in life in which God will allow us to experience the storms of life, the trials and tribulations, if you will, for a purpose of allowing us to learn lessons from Him and to grow in our faith and to deepen our faith. And that's exactly what we're seeing in this situation. The disciples are able to see the storm. They're able to take it in, and it will eventually grow their faith as they see what transpires. We're reminded in the Old Testament, that's exactly the experience of Job, right? Job had not done anything wrong. In fact, as we look at the account of Job, we see that Satan himself had to receive permission from God Almighty to touch Job's life. You remember that interaction that Satan has is that he accuses Job of just serving God because only good things were happening to them. And he goes on to interact and have this conversation, and he believes that if he's able to cause trouble and difficulties in Job's life, that Job, who was a devout follower of God, was going to turn around and was going to quit serving the Lord. And so, Job, who was a devout, God-fearing man, the Lord allowed Satan to touch his life, to impact both his family and his fortune at the time, and his health. But in Job's story, we see that God allowed all these trials and these tribulations for a purpose in his life. I don't know what you're going through today or what you're going through tomorrow, but rest assured that God has a purpose and a plan, and He desires to deepen your faith in Him. He desires for you to grow in Him and grow in your spiritual life. Philippians 1:6 goes on to say, being confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. In other words, we are a working progress. God has a purpose. He has a plan in our life. He wants to deepen our faith. He wants to grow us. He wants to bring us closer to Him. This we can be confident in. He is doing a good work in your life. You know, sometimes we see that there's nothing in life in which we do to cause the trials and tribulations to come our way. But there's also other times where we do cause situations to come our way with the decisions that we make that might not be honoring to the Lord, that are disobedient to the Lord. We find that in the story of Jonah, don't we? We find that in the story of Jonah as he was disobedient. And as he had been commanded by Almighty God to go and evangelize and share good news and a message of repentance, he ran the other direction, wanted to have nothing to do with it. And as you might recall, he is also on a ship. He is making his way to Tarsus. And here we have a storm that is brewing. The Lord had allowed that to teach him about being disobedient. As you know, the rest of the story is that the ship was about to go under, and so Jonah actually is able to call convince those that were on the ship to toss him over. And as you know, he is swallowed by a great fish, and of course he is able to learn the hard lessons of being disobedient to the Lord. So there's times in which we have done nothing wrong, that we're simply going through trials and tribulations so that God will grow us. There's other times in which our choices lead to consequences and God is trying to teach us a lesson. For we are reminded, whom the Lord loves, He disciplines. According to Proverbs 3, verse 12, it goes on to say, for whom the Lord loves, He corrects. Just as a father, the son in whom He delights. And so it is, as we're going through trials or tribulations or difficult times, it's a good time to assess our lives. To assess, is it the decisions that we have made? Is it the consequences for our actions? Is it disobedience to the Lord? Or is it that trials and tribulations are simply coming our way and God desires to grow us and to develop us and to deepen our faith? See, in the storms of our life, we can be assured once again that Jesus will be a calm presence who gives us His peace as we depend upon Him. Notice this, that the disciples are also able to see the valuable lesson that Jesus cares. Now, in verse 38 of our chapter, we see that initially they don't know that He cares. In fact, they declare, "Teacher, do You not care that we are perishing?" This question reveals that the disciples were struggling in this moment. And maybe you're here today and you're going through it, and sometimes you're wondering, does He care? Does anybody care? Does anybody care at all? I feel all alone. But the disciples were able to learn the lesson, so we are today, that Jesus does care. And you are not alone. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And He certainly cares and loves you so much. I'm reminded of one of the great hymns of the faith. And it asks the question, does Jesus care? Goes on to recite phrases such as, does Jesus care when I'm all alone? Does Jesus care when I feel like I have no friends? Does Jesus care when I'm going through the deepest and darkest moments in life? And the answer to that question that the disciples asked, that sometimes in our humanity we ask, does Jesus care? And the answer is, Jesus cares for you. And as we have said so often around here, we can cast all our cares upon Him, for Jesus cares for us. So once again, in this passage, we see the lessons that the disciples are taking to heart. They see, first of all, that Jesus is calm in the midst of the storm, and He's able to cause peace in the midst of the storm. He's able to give peace in the midst of the storm. Jesus cares, and we understand that as the disciples were able to learn that lesson, so it is that we can take that to heart as well. And finally, notice that we see that Jesus is in command. See, the lessons that were learned by these disciples so long ago is once again the lessons that we can take to heart as well. Notice that they see and marvel that He has control and He has power over the situation, specifically the storm in this situation. And so they're able to see that Jesus, the Creator, has power over His creation. Notice in verse 40 of our passage, we see the disciples learn that they did not have to fear. But when they were with Jesus, and as they placed their faith in Him, and as they had their eyes on Him, that their hearts could be filled with peace because they had their eyes, they had their focus on Jesus. And that was the cure to fear. And that is the cure to fear today as well. Hebrews 12:2 reminds us of this truth. It goes on to say, "Fix our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith." Let me ask you a question. Do you have your eyes fixed on Jesus? Are you focused on God? When the issues of life come our way that have the potential to fill you with fear. Even as we talked moments ago in our Sunday school lesson, that there is a struggle with humanity of dealing with the fearful things in life that grip our hearts, that cause us issues. But as we have our eyes fixed on Jesus, we can have peace within our hearts. We're reminded in the New Testament that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of sound mind. We have peace within our hearts and peace within our lives. As our eyes are fixed on Him, as our focus is on Him, and as we embrace upon the great love that He has for us, perfect love casts out fear. So once again, when our focus is on the love that He has for us, and His presence and His peace that He can give to us, we can have our hearts filled with faith and with peace. Philippians 4, verse 6 through 7, another wonderful passage that deals with this very issue. It goes on to say this: "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understandings, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Everyone here, some might struggle more than others, but everyone here has struggled with anxious feelings from time to time. But we have a solution. We have the source of peace. We have the source of our strength that is captured in this verse as we go to Him with prayer and as we go to Him with thanksgiving. We just completed Thanksgiving just recently, right? And it was a reminder that we ought to come and to thank the Lord for all of His blessings. But that is not only a principle for the season of Thanksgiving, as we reference the day of Thanksgiving as we just celebrated, but a follower of Christ should have a thankful heart who should count their blessings as a song goes on. Name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. And so as you reflect upon the blessings of the past and the gratitude that you have for God being with you in the past, so it is that it strengthens us for the present. So it is that it strengthens us for the future. And we will be guarded in our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And once again, we'll have the peace that surpasses all understanding, the peace that the world does not understand. Believers in Christ, we have access to the peace of God. And the words found in John chapter 14, and specifically verse 27, Jesus is talking to His disciples, and He says this to them: "Peace I leave with you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." He knew that there was going to be difficult times that were coming the disciples' way. They were going to be fearful in certain situations. But He said, "Peace I leave with you." Let me just say this, that as disciples and followers of Christ in this current generation, you can also experience that peace as well. Maybe you're going through a time of turmoil. Maybe you're going through some difficulty. Maybe you're having a sense of anxiousness and fear for whatever you're going through. And I say to you, hold on to the peace that God gives us through our faith in Jesus Christ. For the unbeliever, we want to introduce you to this peace of God, which we've been talking about actually throughout the service, have sung about, have talked about within this message. We want to introduce you to that peace that you can experience, a peace of God, as we introduce you to the Prince of Peace. But before you experience the peace of God, you have to experience peace with God. What do I mean? The fact of the matter is that if you are apart from a relationship with God, that you are separated from a holy and righteous God. We want to introduce to you the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who has promised to give us peace with God. And how does that happen? As we have referenced throughout this service, it happens through a relationship with Jesus Christ. God sent His Son, as the song goes on to say, they called Him Jesus, right? He came to serve. He came to seek the lost. He came to provide salvation for you and for me. And so 2,000 years ago, when He died on that cross at Calvary, He was able to provide the opportunity for mankind to have peace with God. And all comes through justification and salvation. In fact, Romans 5 verse 1 reminds us, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, the legal standing has been changed. You've been changed from guilty to being pardoned and to being innocent through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Your standing has been changed with God, and you have peace with God through faith in Jesus Christ. Just a moment, we're going to have a time of invitation. The most important thing that one can do if they never receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior is place their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God, who died for your sins and died for my sins. And as you receive Him by faith, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who died for your sins, was buried, rose again the third day according to the Scripture. And as you receive that by faith, your standing will be changed. And you can have peace with God. And that's our prayer for you this morning. As a worship team prepares to come forward, as we prepare for our time of invitation in just a moment, join me as we go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we're so thankful for this Sunday in which we have been able to celebrate the theme of peace. We're reminded that the world doesn't understand this peace that we're talking about. It's not the peace of the world, it's the peace of God. We're so thankful, O Lord, that because of Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, who died for our sins, that we can have peace with God through faith in Jesus Christ and through His shed blood on that cross, which provides for the remission of our sins. We thank You, O Lord, for that salvation that is provided in faith in Jesus Christ that gives us the peace with God. If there's anyone here that has never received Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, as we open up this time of invitation, Lord, may they take that first step and receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior so that they'll be gloriously saved. So their destination will be changed for all eternity. They will be promised a home in heaven. Thank You, O Lord, though, that it's not about just the future, but it's also about the present. We're so thankful as followers of Jesus Christ that You have saved our souls. As followers of Jesus Christ, we're grateful. We are thankful for the salvation that is in a relationship with Jesus Christ. But Lord, as followers of Jesus Christ, there are times in which followers of Christ will feel alone. There are times in which they'll go through difficult times, whether it be from decisions that we have made or maybe just simply the trials and tribulations of life. Oh Lord, help us as followers of Jesus Christ to recognize the truth that is found in you, that we can have peace in the storms because you do care for us. And you can give us a calming presence and a peace that certainly surpasses all understanding. For you are in command. You are in control. You are sovereign over all things. Help us to take these truths to heart. We do pray. Now, O Lord, bless this time of invitation as we respond to the message that you have given us through your word in which we have received. Bless this time of invitation. We'll give you all the honor and glory for what you accomplish. In Jesus' name, amen.